In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
The dominion mandate is inside. That's why the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You carry God's image, discover who you are, and shake off that ignorance.
I confer the blessing on your life today. I confer your mighty hand of blessing upon their lives.
Welcome to Expand Your World with Pastor David Ugweli.
Psalm 112, let me read from verse 1. I'm talking about righteous legacy, godly legacy. That's what I want to share with you righteous legacy and its consequence for generations that follow. Look at this, for example. I read from Psalm 112, from verse 1. Blessed is the man that feared the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. This kind of man. A true walk with God is an investment you cannot finish reaping. It's an investment that your children and children's children will reap forever. According to the scriptures, the blessing of a righteous walk travels to 1,000 generations. Everywhere I go, everybody is claiming Abraham's blessings are mine. And some time ago, God asked me, why don't you also lay that kind of foundation for your natural children and their descendants after them, and for your spiritual children and their children after them? That any man that hooks up with you, whether it's natural or spiritual, that gene of blessing starts traveling in their generation. I said, what does it take to do that? Abraham was called the friend of God. He was a man that had such a walk with God. And I remember one time God said to him, Abraham, you must walk before me upright. If you're going to have a walk with God, righteousness is one of the key. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Anybody that claims to have fellowship with him and walk in darkness is lying. That's what the Bible said. Blessed is the man that feared the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. Verse 2. Look at the implication for the generation that will follow. Verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. You see that? His seed. There is another translation that said his descendants shall be mighty on the earth. Look at this one. He said his descendants shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. You see, when you pay that price, I don't even want to call it a price, because it's the greatest honor any man can have, to have a walk with God. But I want you to know that you have made an investment. You may not really build a house for your children, but they will build the largest houses in that community. This God we're serving is not joke. It's not tori. It's not talk. It has effect. If this nation, because God has a great purpose for this country, if this country can turn back to God, if you see what will happen in Nigeria in the next one decade, just 10 years. If the church in Nigeria can turn back to God, turn away from our sins and our wicked ways, if you see what will happen with us in just 5 years. When God really wants to bless you, do you know what he does? He goes beyond you to bless your descendants. When God really wants to bless you, He is going to bless you. But the investment of working with God cannot be reaped by one generation. That's why those of us that are also playing game with God, if you know what you're doing, not just to yourself, but to your children after you. That's why I have taken a vow with my own life. Let me show you something. Let's read a little down here, a little, so I can leave here. The descendants, his descendants will be mighty upon the earth. Go to your village, study the ones that are becoming, that are being, you know, I have done the research for my own community. The wealthiest. Some of them are not living true to what they got from their family, but the blessing is still following them because of what their parents did. Children of those ones that opened the door for missionaries, help to bring Christianity to those communities. Go and watch those families. Go and watch the ones that held to idol worship. Go there and see how things have been for generations. Who have held to occultism. Who have held to all those things. Go and see how their generation has become. Even if the first man is blessed, immediately he dies, desolation is what follows the children. They are not able to retain that wealth. It's a mystery. Verse 3. Wealth and riches will be found where? In his house. And his righteousness endures forever. Verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Verse 5. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. You know, one of the things you notice about practicing this lifestyle is that you are a giver. He is generous. You can't say you are righteous and you are stingy. It doesn't go together. They are generous, but one of the things is that God gives them wisdom to manage their affairs. Verse 6. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be what? An everlasting remembrance. One translation said everlasting foundation. What you have laid is a foundation that is not going to last only for a lifetime. It's going to last for a very, very long time. See the power of legacy. Let me show you something. Judges, one of the chapters here in the book that we're going to be studying is the cycle of revival and how the cycle works with God's people. It's a pattern that the scripture has established that works everywhere in the world, starting from the Old Testament all the way to today. Judges chapter 2 from verse 7. Maybe I should read verse 7. We'll study the rest later. So the people, watch this, served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he has done for Israel. Go on. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. I will stay here long enough. It's part of my discovery, the importance of godly leadership. You see, it takes God many years to raise a man. But when this man died, Joshua, watch what happened, verse 9. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill. Then verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, that they died, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he has done for Israel. A leader from one of the campus fellowships was talking with me, the state of the campus. I knew that campus when we were in our own campus. We used to do conferences and visit there. That a whole campus was on fire. Christian leaders of all kinds that shook that campus to its very foundation. And he was telling me now what is now happening now in the fellowship. They did end of year program, and what they were given an award for is the hottest sister of the year. hottest sister. They are looking physical beauty. The hottest brother of the year. They had about 12 of such awards, all focusing on nonsense. I remember one year, Reverend Oyeks won for 2 years the best soul winner of the year. And the next year won it again, all the way back in school. And she was 17 when she gave her life to Christ. The kind of recognition we do then is the best intercessor. Things that recognize godliness. Things that recognize contribution in the kingdom. What has now changed? There arose another generation. So you go back to the same campus that once knew righteousness. Immorality is the order of the day. I knew that fellowship. That fellowship had revival and had a walk with God. But what happened? A generation of leaders that knew God has walked and passed. For some reasons, some of them are even ministers today, doing well in town, but they've ignored to, because what we don't know is that there is something about spiritual leadership. There are two kinds of people who come into the faith. There is one group that will not continue unless there is a righteous model to look up to. Which is one of the things we want to break with these revival studies. To make sure that you are not just following God because of your pastor. That your faith is not second-hand faith. Paul said, my preaching and my teaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the power and the spirit of God, so that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the knowledge of God. You have a first-hand knowledge of who he is. And then you become one of those that lay that righteous foundation for others. One of those other people can follow. There is a generation, and many times it's 90-something percent of the people who fill our churches. The Bible said there is only one God and one mediator between God and man. For majority, they put a second mediator, the pastor. Sometimes we put the men of God, or sometimes the men of God even put themselves. And block the way. So we see that while Moses was alive, he brought the people out of Egypt. And he got to Mount Sinai. He went up to the top of the mount to get the Ten Commandments. That process lasted for 40 days. Which is just 5 weeks. 5 weeks of pastor not coming to church. The congregation backslid. 5 weeks, 5 days. That's what 40 days is. And he went there on a personal retreat, where God would give him direction, because the message he took to Egypt was, the God of your fathers has heard your cries and he has sent me to deliver. It was a message of salvation and deliverance. But now he needed to get what to disciple the people that have been out of Egypt with. That's where the first five books of the Bible was given to him. That's where the Ten Commandments was given. It took him about 5 weeks to download all that. While he was there, the people came to Aaron and said, Aaron, make us a God we can see, like all the other nations around us. But we don't know what has happened to this man, Moses, that brought us out. There is something about people that once the leadership goes, either a generation dies off. As I'm looking at Nigeria, I see godly leadership like Pastor Kumi. I see godly leadership like Pastor Adewale. But as I look at them, you see that age is telling on them. And we don't know how long God is going to leave us with them here. And then, finally they go. What normally happens is that a whole generation turns away. Unless Joshua's are raised. Unless there's another generation of righteous leadership that is raised to keep that banner high. When all that generation were gathered to their fathers, another generation arose who did not know the Lord nor the work which he has done for Israel. Look at what happened. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served what? Baal. So you see, a time of revival, without that revival precipitating new generation of leaders that will carry the legacy on, like Jesus finished and left us with the apostles. Except that happens, the next thing that is going to follow a major move of God is the people turning away from God. Just thinking about some of the mighty things that God did in different secondary schools, that's where I got saved. Scripture Union Revival, towards its ending, you came to my school, swept the school. By the time it was through with our school, I can't tell you, you know, it's not just students, lecturers, I mean teachers, secondary school. And then from there, we went into the university. Our days on campus, the sin I know that we were committing, to be honest with you, is not balancing our passion for God with our education very well. That's the only sin I can tell you. All these things that they are talking about, fornicating and all the, we go back to think about this and we're even wondering. It was not even in view. From campus to campus, rural place to place, we were going on missions, planting fellowships, planting churches. Do you know that as a second year student, even the city where I lived, where my parents lived, I planted a church right there. So anytime we're on halls, and then planted a youth movement. The early 80s. There's something about godly leadership that sets a tone for another generation to rise up to serve God. Actually, leadership has more than modeling responsibility. To model lifestyle of righteousness, we also have the job of replicating it in others, replicating such leaders. Let me show you something. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Jehoiada. It's a young man who came to power because the people before him died. His father died early. So he came to power as a young child. The 7th year of Jehoash, began to reign. And he reigned for 40 years in Jerusalem. Anytime you read the book of Chronicles or the book of Kings, any king that rules for a long time, over 90% of the time, they are the ones that did what was right in the sight of God. The ones that would do evil, sometimes 6 months, sometimes 3 months, they are taken out of power. Sometimes a few years. This guy stayed in power for 40 years, like David. He did what was right. His mother's name was Ziba of Bathsheba. Look at verse 2. And Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But watch that extra thing added. All his days wherein Jehoiada the priest did what? He was righteous while there was a godly leader before him, that was guiding him, that was mentoring him. Righteous leadership, spiritual leadership, influences even political leadership. It influences business people. It influences families. It influences the quality of marriages. If a pastor chooses to be wayward with his marriage, you know what is going to happen? That's what is going to start spreading. If he pays the price to build a godly family, do you know what is going to happen to congregation? So the point I want you to know is that your success is not one generation. You are not self-made. The other people who lay the foundation for what you enjoy. That's why for me, if you've studied how I have modeled my life first, apart from my work with Jesus, family, 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 oh, family, family. Do you know what? I'm not the only one who has flesh. My flesh too is crazy. It wants to go for the wrong stuff. I know that you have it. But if you do it and I stay godly, you will correct yourself. But if I do it, I can overthrow other people's faith. That's first level, oh, first level. And that first level is not good enough. Because there is now a higher level. There was a time I was at this first level where I was looking at the men of God who were setting the standard, who were preaching to me, who were teaching us, and I was looking to them through their example. I was seeing Christ. But I have come to that point where the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, where I now understand that these people are men. They are not perfect. They can make mistakes. And that even me, I owe them intercession. I owe them covering. If I even hear that something happened, I will cover it. I will do everything not to let anybody know about it. Because I know that there are human beings like me that are saved by grace, who have done their best to live a righteous legacy. But even the best, as you read through your Bible, Abraham, and who was called a friend of God, then we meet that story of Hagar. The maid. How does a righteous man like that sleep with his maid? Okay, I meet the issue of the man that saved the world by building an ark, Noah. He said he was a righteous man. And he said, Noah walked with God. Then he got drunk. How does that happen? It tells you. And I meet the man they call the man after God's heart, David. Then I see this issue of Bathsheba. What he finally tells me that the best of men are still men. It's not a man. It's not men that died for me. It's the Holy Son of God. The sinless one that came and gave his life on the cross. Your faith should not be on man. Your faith should be on Jesus. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Every other ground is sinking. Does that now remove responsibility for leaders? No. You have capacity to help a generation move in the direction of serving God. And you also have capacity to destroy people. And there will be consequences. There will be consequences, whichever one. I have made up my mind. Like they used to teach us then, growing up. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Oh my God, my time. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
There's even another part.
The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
Please, let's look at this a little more. Look at that. Joash did what was right.
This is the guy that we're studying. This young man that came to become a king. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. You see, that was the man that was mentoring and modeling godliness for him. Continue. And Jehoiada took for him two wives. Yes, in the Old Testament, allowed. You know, they would do that. The man that was his mentor, helping get two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And then the next verse. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. He carried the reformation to go and rebuild God's temples that have been messed up because of previous generation of idolatry. Then, let me show you verse 15. If you keep reading, you see a lot of reform. God used him to bring revival. But look at verse 15. And Jehoiada, look at his mentor, waxed old and was full of days. And he died. He died 130 years old. Okay, Jehoiada is gone. Then let's look at Joash. The next verse. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he has done good in Israel, both towards God and towards his house. The next verse. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. You see, another influence came. Then the king hearkened unto them. They started bringing advice. You see how people depart from God? And then verse 18. And they left the house of the Lord God of their father. He is the one that started rebuilding the house, doing all that. Now he left it and served groves and idols. Watch, and wrath, anger came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this trespass. Can you believe that somebody that once led a revival can go into idolatry? Can a minister, somebody that once walked with God, go backslide? See an example here. What happened? The godly influence on his life, because we can't live here forever. And then a group of corrupt guys came around him. And they brought this new idea. And he yielded, he turned, and followed their advice. You see why first level faith and relationship with God is not good enough. Yet, that's the state we find millions today. That means that church cannot go on the way we have been doing church. Because there is something that solves this problem. It's called discipleship. And it's a type of discipleship that does it. We'll talk more about it. It's what is called obedience-based discipleship or commitment-driven discipleship. When you learn a truth, make a commitment to match and begin to practice it. Not knowledge-based, where you just keep acquiring knowledge and you're not practicing. A person that studies the Bible or hears the word and don't do it is like one that looks at his face in a mirror and sees things that should be corrected and walks away and forgets. So that head that was not combed, because that's what the mirror was supposed to help him, he didn't comb it, he just forgot and walked away and carried that mess all through the day. The word is a mirror that shows you what things need to be put right. Following the word mirror, we can know how the church should be run. You should know how your Christian life should be, how your marriage life should be. This guy went into idolatry. Let's take a few more verses. Yet God sent prophets to them to bring them again to him. And they testified against them, but they will not give ear. They won't listen. He sent prophets because God, before God judges, God will warn. He sent prophets to turn them back. They won't listen. And the next thing, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. Look at his mentor. Now, another leader emerges that is the mentor's son. Now, when he was being mentored, he watched this boy grow up, small boy. growing up. Now the hand of God comes upon him, becomes a minister, and he stood above the people and said unto the people, "Thus said the Lord, why transgress ye my commandments? That you cannot prosper, because you are forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you." Do you know what Joash did? He got people to stone this boy and they killed him. Go and watch, if you read the rest of the story, you see how he died. How he died a miserable death. Somebody that started well. Yeah, and they conspired against him and stoned him with stone at the command of the king. The king was the one that commanded in the court of the house of the Lord. They killed him. But before he died, he said something that God would judge this thing. Go ahead. And thus, Joash the king remembered not the kindness of Jehoiada, his father, that his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, "The Lord look upon it and require it and judge." He forgot that this guy you are killing. If you hear stories sometimes of what God's people have done, which is why the Bible said, "The righteous man lays inheritance for his children's children. If God helps you, do it while you are alive." Look at what happened to Gideon after fighting for Israel. The people turned and killed his 70 sons. But the consequences followed Israel for years. Why are human beings like this? Why are we like this? Why is it that people that have been used to bless us, used to affect our life, after a while we forget? The same way we forget God, we forget the people he has used to be a blessing to us. Hey, Lord. Okay. I will do something now. I just wanted to see the power of righteous legacy. Just follow me and see this. Let's just look at this. I want you to see. I would have loved to stay a little here, but I need to show you something. Second Kings chapter 18, verse 3. All through the Bible, you will see this thing, especially in the book of Kings. You will keep seeing this. It's recorded so many times. Chapter 18, verse 3. This is another king. Pick verse 2 so that we'll pick his name. Verse 1, let's speak his name. Okay, it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the king of Israel, Hezekiah. This is Hezekiah that we're dealing with. The son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. So go back to verse 3. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to what? All that David, his father. What you are doing now, your children will repeat it. If you choose to serve, be worldly, be wayward, and be jumping around with all the women in Lagos, remember, your own son is going to take it to another level. How many women did David go for? It was just Bathsheba. How many did Solomon go for? 1,000. So, look at righteous legacy. He did what was right. His immediate father didn't quite do well, but he had a predecessor, David, that laid a righteous foundation. And because he heard that story, he chose to follow that. Probably as a wise man, he has seen the damages his father's life caused. Hezekiah was righteous because of David's influence. You see why? My prayer today and my major call today, I'm calling for people that will consecrate their life to raise righteous pillars for this generation. In the workplace, we need you as a Daniel. In that place, we need you as a Joseph. In your street, we need you to rise up. Just one man with God is the majority. Your life will influence thousands and millions to turn to righteousness. One man with God is the majority. One man that has courage to do what is right. It takes courage because they will criticize you. They will laugh at you. You might get persecuted initially, but you give enough time, they will see the difference. The difference will be clear. It will be like day and night. You will so prosper. God will have so promoted it like he did for Joseph or Daniel, and then they will start realizing. 2 Kings 14 verse 3. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all the things as Joash his father what? This thing puts a heavy responsibility on us at the family level, in spiritual leadership. In everywhere where you are a leader, the people are going to follow your example. Chapter 15 verse 3. It's another king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah has done. Chapter 15 verse 34. I believe you've got the gist. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah has done. Everybody that got it right, do you know what the Bible said? They followed their father's example. Then all the ones that did evil, they were more in number than the ones that did right. The Bible said they followed their father's example. And there arose another generation. What could have changed the tide for that next generation? One person that would have modeled back righteousness the way Moses, Joshua did. That was Joshua's biggest failure, not raising for them a righteous leader. Because everything rises and falls on leadership. No matter how much I serve God now and I live and not replace myself, I will have cheated a generation after. The generation that worked with me, who followed me directly, might go all the way and serve God until it gets to our children. You know what this means, Pastor Sarah? Where our biggest challenge will be, Dominion City, is this so-called teenagers and children's church now. That place is where the future is. You see, all these ones, they might serve God because God has raised for them. And after you learn all this, what happens to your kids? But you know what is going to happen to your boy? What you are doing now, if you can pass it down at home, start a church at home. At least once a week, which is not enough. If you can, everyday service. Let it just be 30-minute service. You study the Bible. But beyond studying with your children, leave this thing. Let them watch. Leave this life. Let them watch you a tighter. Let them watch you that you don't play with the things of God. Let them watch you be a husband of one wife. Let them watch you love your wife. Let them watch you live a life of integrity. You have saved those children and you have given them the most important thing they need to succeed in life. Of course, it's after this moral foundation, education becomes the second thing that they need. And then they will have wealth. Like the Bible said at the beginning, wealth and riches will be found in their house. You will raise a generation that will make what you achieve like nothing. You will sit back in your latter years and look at what the exploits your children are doing. Taking it back to first generation. No pastor. Personal holiness and godliness is not private. It has generational consequences. But a life of ungodliness, sin, has consequences. You think you're doing that in privately? You think it's a private thing? I don't know if you were there, did Adam eat the fruit, but you can see the consequences. Or every time you see a woman crying in maternity womb that she's giving birth, were you there the day Mother Eve ate that thing? But you can see the consequences. I made up my mind. I gave them headache. You see, some of these ones you are discipling and following up. Sometimes they won't come to church. You go again. You don't know who that man is. It might be the next Billy Graham. It might be the next Pastor Adeboye. It might be the next Bishop Oyedepo. You don't know who he is. Pay the price. Pray for him. Bind that devil that is distracting him. And finally, you will see. The seed of the righteous shall be mighty upon the earth.